Good afternoon. This show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. On the program today, coming up, we will be having some live jazz in our studio from the Chip McNeil Quartet, who are going to be continuing what is still a pretty young rejuvenation of the Concerts in the Park series at Allerton Park in Monticello. That concert is going to be tonight, and we'll be pleased to have him on the show today. But first, we'll be paying tribute to Judy Garland, as it were. Actually, I'll be talking with one of the two people who will be paying tribute to Judy Garland Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. Her name, Laura Freeman. She teams with Rob Dorn for a program that they call simply the Judy Garland Duets. And a lot of recreation going on there. Stick around. I think you'll enjoy the conversation. And here is one of Judy's favorites, as sung by Rob Dorn.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble by,
of course, you recognize the music. It was made famous by none other than Judy Garland in the film The Wizard of Oz, Somewhere of the Rainbow. But it's sung here by Rob Dorn, who is a Chicago cabaret singer and graphic artist. And he is going to be teaming with another Chicago cabaret singer named Laura Freeman in a program that they call the Judy Garland Duets, paying tribute to her and recreating many of the songs that she sang with some very well-known people. And we have with us on the line Laura Freeman from Chicago. They're going to be playing, doing this show Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. And Laura, thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where'd you get the idea to do a Judy Garland duet show?
Well, it sounds like an awfully long time ago, but about 20 years ago, I met Rob, and we were huge fans of the Decca recordings that Judy did in the beginning of her career. And so much, in fact, that when we would get up to sing at clubs, we would just kind of recreate these amazing arrangements that she did for those recordings. And we reconnected about 5 years ago, and we still, obviously, you don't fall out of love with Judy, so we still had this huge respect for her and those recordings, and we thought, wouldn't it be fun to really look at some of those amazing duets and recreate some of those, arrangements for today's audience.
I'm not really very familiar with Judy Garland's recording history. When you say early recordings, how early are we talking about? I mean, just to put it in perspective, she was 16 when she did The Wizard of Oz.
Right. Yeah, she was recording, I think she first got into the recording studio when she was like 12, if you want to go back that far. And then she recorded all throughout her her life. The most famous recording is her Carnegie Hall Live Duel album, which has never gone out of print, and she did that back in the 60s, I think, and it's still one of the biggest selling albums to date, actually.
So that one was late in her career.
Right, and then in the beginning of her career, she did an enormous amount of radio programs. Anytime that she did a musical, they would also then put out, recordings of her singing that stuff, and then she sang live on numerous amounts of radio programs.
And a lot of those were duets then?
She sang a lot of duets in the movies with Mickey Rooney, for example, Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, and then she had her own television program for a while, and at that point, she had duets with Barbra Streisand and Peggy Lee and Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, you name it. Everyone was fighting to be on her show. And when someone was on the show, then they would create these very intricate medleys and duets for her to sing with the guest artists.
So people are going to hear you sing in a couple of minutes, and of course I've heard you sing listening to you talk. One would assume that you are a soprano,
mm-hmm.
Whereas Judy Garland decidedly was not a soprano. She has
right.
this, you know, had this very low, rich voice even when she was incredibly young. So obviously, I assume anyway, that you're not going to, in these duets, really be trying to imitate Judy Garland. Tell me about what the recreation is like and what sort of approach you and Rob decided to take.
Well, actually, I do have a higher speaking voice, and I do consider myself a soprano, but a lot of singers today have what is called a belt range, which is kind of a chest voice, if you will, and that is primarily where Judy was getting those huge, giant notes, much like Ethel Merman at that time. She knew how to use her voice in a way, since they weren't mic'd like singers are mic'd today, to fill a huge theater. And I do sing like that. So you will hear me singing in her range.
So your belt range is lower in your
yes.
overall range. Her belt range was higher in her overall range.
Yes.
So the two come together.
Mm-hmm. You know, we took the approach of, as you can tell from Rob's voice, he's also a higher tenor.
Yeah.
So between the two of us, we managed to kind of meet in the middle, and the things that are a little bit low for me to sing, he sings, and the things that are a little bit that need that female voice, I sing. In fact, we have our banter for most of the show is, you know, who gets to be the better Judy? Who gets to sing all of the songs that we love as well as the duets?
Are you trying to recreate the actual duets that were sung? So the arrangements that were sung when she did these? Or are
yes.
these new arrangements?
No, for the most part, the duets are true to the duets that she did. The solo work that we do throughout the show is kind of a mix between the pieces that we really liked that she recorded and then, you know, our own interpretation of them. Like, we do turn Somewhere Over the Rainbow into a duet.
Which, of course, she didn't do it that way in the movies. I wonder, did she ever do
no.
it as a duet at other
times? Not
time?
That I'm aware of, no.
What do you think is the mystique of Judy Garland? I mean, aside from the fact that she died so young.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's different for every person. For a large part, performers, she was kind of labeled as unattractive when she was a young person. The studio constantly berated her with being overweight and unattractive, and they did all of these things to make her seem more glamorous, and eventually they gave up, just called her the girl next door, and she never felt like she was good enough. And I think a lot of people can relate to not feeling like people support them, that people allow them to be who they are. And then the gay culture also has a link to Judy Garland for those same reasons as well. And then the anniversary of her death also happened on a big event in gay history called the Stonewall Riots in New York. And those riots pushed gay rights forward, and so there's a lot of ties to Judy by all different kinds of people. It really just depends on the what she means to you. That's a long, circuitous answer, but
well, and then there's of course the fact that she was a pretty darn good singer.
Oh gosh, Yes, definitely.
To say the very least. Well, speaking of good singers, I'm talking with Laura Freeman, who, along with fellow Chicago artist Rob Dorn, are going to be giving a show Sunday afternoon in Springfield at 2 o'clock called the Judy Garland Duets, which they've been doing for a while now. And here is Laura solo in, this is also a familiar song, Tea for Two, and you're hearing her on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Discontented with homes that are rented, so I have invented my own. Darling, this place is a lover's oasis where life's weary chase is unknown. Far from the cry of the city where flowers pretty caress the stream. Cozy to hide in, to live side by side in, don't let it abide in my dreams. Picture me upon your knee with tea for two and two for tea, me for you and you for me alone. Nobody near us to see us or hear us, no friends or relations on weekend vacations. We won't have it known that we own a telephone.
That's Laura Freeman, who is a Chicago-based vocalist who is going to be teaming up for a program of songs made famous by Judy Garland, in particular duets that she did with various people. So Laura will be teaming up with Rob Dorn on Sunday afternoon at the Hoagland Center for the Performing Arts. She's my guest this portion of Live and Local. Tell me a little bit about the stage show itself. I'm looking at a picture that I assume comes from the show, and there seems to be some costuming going on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, well, let's see. I was actually talking to someone about the show a couple of weeks ago, and he asked me if we're really going to find out a lot of information about Judy in the show, and actually we assume that you can go on Wikipedia and that most of you do know quite a bit about Judy Garland. And really the show is a love letter to her and how much we loved these recordings and the movies that she did. And most of our banter is, like I said earlier, an argument about who is the better Judy.
Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield, Laura Freeman with Rob Dorn, mm-hmm. The Judy Garland duets. Among the songs you'll hear, For Me and My Gal, When You Wore a Tulip, You Made Me Love You, Zing Went the Strings of My Heart, and one of the famous ones from the musical Meet Me in St. Louis. It's the Trolley Song, and here is Judy Garland herself with Mel Torme. Laura, thanks very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you so much.
With my high starch collar and my high top shoes and my hair piled high up on my head, I want to lose a jolly hour on the trolley and lost my heart instead. With this life,
the lady stepped upon my shoes and now I need a star.
Wow, Judy Garland and Mel Torme, the Trolley Song, on Live and Local.
On Afternoon at the Opera, Saturday at 12 noon, there will be a double bill from the Lyric Opera of Chicago. First, Richard Strauss's one-act opera, Elektra, with Christine Gerke as Elektra, Emily McGee as Chrysothemis, and Jill Grove as Clytemnestra. And then, Hansel and Gretel by Engelbert Humperdinck, and Elizabeth DeShong will sing the role of Hansel, and Maria Kanyova the role of Gretel.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois. Now featuring the new exhibit, the James Bond theme, Music to Live, Die, and Love Another Day. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. Among the other performances coming up, in fact, very soon, in a matter of a couple of hours or less, is the third in a series of Concerts in the Park, which is a new series, at Allerton Park in Monticello, which are happening the first Friday of every month. So that would be tonight from 6 to 8 in the brick wall garden there. And tonight's show is jazz. The series started in April, I think, and it will continue for a while, and there's a different genre each time. This tonight's performance is by the Chip McNeil Quartet, which is an ensemble in flux always, and we'll introduce their players coming up shortly. But I want to introduce first the fellow who's responsible for the music series at Allerton. He is Associate Director of Park Operations there. His name is Derek Peterson, and he got in touch with me a while ago with this idea and said, who do you know in all these various genres? And I told him some people I knew in the genres that I could and said, go ask somebody else in the genres that I couldn't. And apparently it's happening. So, Derek, thanks for coming in, and why don't you tell us what gave you the idea?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me, Kevin. The idea actually was around a few years ago. They did this from 05 to 08. In 08, everything went kind of bottoms up, as in most places, and we had to cancel the programming that was out at the park. When I came into this idea last spring, I decided that, we were going to do it one way or another. And so we went out and we got some sponsors. The U of I Credit Union is our presenting sponsor. We're very thankful to them. I contacted you, Kevin, as you just mentioned. Very thankful that there's such a vibrant presence of live and local music in this community. And the idea was just kind of started, and it's working very well so far.
Who did you have in April?
We had the Big Red Skillet Band. It was a country western band from Tolono, Illinois. They came out and performed new country music and old country music, and it was in the Allerton Barn. And so it was a barn dance of sorts, and there was plenty of dancers. The U of I Rodeo Club was actually out there, and they were...
U of I Rodeo Club?
Yeah, the Rodeo Club, right? They were out there, and they were boot scooting and flipping cowgirls. The cowboys were flipping cowgirls over their arms. It was quite a hoot. So
I didn't know there was such a club.
Right.
And so it was the Red Skillet?
The Big Red Skillet.
Big Red Skillet Band. See, this is one of those genres where I said,
sure,
just go ask somebody else. I don't happen to know much of anything about it. Local country music.
Yeah.
So, that sounds like it was a blast.
It was fun. It was.
And then May?
May we had the Spud Hunters, which was a traditional Celtic band.
I think you better say Irish.
Irish band. And it got rained out. A very traditional Irish band, evidently. Got rained out. It was supposed to be in the Brick Wall Garden. We had to move that over to the Allerton Barn. Still a great time. A lot of kids. I had a maypole idea, we're going to set up this maypole and have the kids running around the maypole, but since it got moved to the barn, the maypole will have to wait till next year, but it was fun.
So nobody flipping girls over their shoulders
Not on that one.
All right, well, it sounds like a lot of fun. And, of course, we have jazz tonight with the Chip McNeil Quartet. Chip McNeil is the head of the jazz division at the University of Illinois School of Music. He's also the tenor sax player, and... See, he's brought his soprano along, but it's not out of the case, so I don't know if we're going to hear it today.
I don't know.
Maybe
we'll
not.
We'll see how it goes.
This jazz is all about improvisation, so that would be in the element there. Fellow faculty member in the jazz division is the drum faculty person, who's Joel Spencer, who just finished your first year.
That's right.
First academic year.
Yes, indeed. It was a wonderful year. It's been an absolute joy between working with these students and the faculty. So it's great.
And one of the former students is also in the quartet. His name, George Turner, guitarist. And do you have your doctorate now from the program, or are you still working?
Still working on it. ABD.
ABD, one of those people. I hope you don't turn into one of those people who are eternally ABD.
No, I won't.
No, we won't let that happen. No.
The world is full, a certain segment of the world is full of people who are eternally ABD. But George teaches at Western Illinois University. That's a good jaunt.
It's a little
from Urbana.
A little ride over there, yeah.
And George's been on the show many times with different groups. And a student presently in the program is Sam Peters on bass, who I've watched a little bit grow over the years and turn into quite a fine jazz bassist. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And a lot of confidence these guys are placing in you to have them as part of this particular quartet. Let's hear some live music. What do you want to start with?
I thought today we'll kind of play a smattering, which is what we're going to do tonight. So if you can come out 6 to 8 p.m. out at Allerton, please come out and support live jazz and support the series that they're starting. And thank you, Derek, for doing that and asking us. So we're going to play some things out of kind of standard jazz repertoire. This first one is actually a Blue Mitchell composition, great jazz trumpet player. And I believe this is from The Thing to Do, Blue Mitchell, a recording he did on Blue Note years and years ago. Featured a young Chick Corea and a lot of terrific players. This is called Fungi Mama. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I was going to wait for the cymbals to keep ringing.
Get the full natural experience.
That's right. A Blue Mitchell tune called Fungi Mama.
Fungi Mama.
Is that F-U-N-J-I?
F-U-I-I, actually. I-I.
What does that come from? Any idea what that
I don't really know as far as Blue. He's long gone, so we can't really ask him. But it's based on, it's a popular song format, basically based on rhythm changes. George Gershwin's Rhythm Changes. It's just done in a Latin beat and a little different groove put to it, so that was kind of
George Gershwin's Rhythm Changes to,
well, his the actual chord changes to the tune I've Got Rhythm.
I've Got Rhythm. Okay.
Yeah, so it's based on that. It has the same chord structure.
A lot of people have done that.
Yeah,
haven't they? Did that particular tune?
I would say I Got Rhythm Changes have more what we call contrafacts or melodies that are other melodies based on those chord changes than probably any tune in jazz other than the blues. Maybe.
What makes that one interesting?
Just the structure of it. It's basically got kind of a, actually it harkens back to classical music. It's got sonata, well, it's not really, I guess it is, basically sonata form structure. It's an AABA type format. There's an A bar phrase, another A bar phrase. It's kind of repetitive, a different chord structure for the next A bar phrase, and then a final A bar phrase, which is kind of a slight derivation of the first A bar phrase.
And is the chord structure itself, you know,
that's just
interesting, unusual?
Yeah, it's basically just based on what we call turnarounds, a series of turning around on a certain key center. And it's got a basic motion that's in the blues, 1-4 in it. And so there's a lot of different things. And then what we call a cycle of fifths motion for the bridge. So it's just kind of an interesting thing to play.
Now we're getting into deep theory.
Yeah, this is getting deep, yeah. Just come out and enjoy the jazz. Yeah. You don't have to know all that stuff to enjoy it. That's the main thing.
It's Chip McNeil on the tenor sax, George Turner on guitar, Sam Peters on the bass. Sorry, I'm not even looking at my notes. I'm having a major bunch of moments here. And Joel Spencer on the drums. Welcome to Joel. First time on Live and Local. It's a pleasure to hear you.
Nice to be here.
I've heard you live in a number of different contexts, and you're fun to watch because you're an, I hope you don't mind my saying this, a very non-extrovert drummer.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're physically within yourself, and the music that you do is really interesting, and it's really sensitive, and it's subtle a lot of the time. And this one you chose to do all toms. Which I thought was...
Oh, well, thank you. You know, nice it's you know, trying to get your sound, trying to get your feel, as drummers say, out at the end of the sticks and not wrapping yourself physically into it and remaining physically relaxed. So I think at the same time you can think in relaxed and in musically intense ways without your physicality getting in the way.
So is this one of the principles of your teaching?
Yes, absolutely. It's staying relaxed and, you know, as you said, staying within oneself. That is being relaxed and feeling like you're really in control and then can respond to all the voices that are around you.
Have you experienced either students or professionals who have had the opposite happen, where they seem to be so physically involved and then your perception is that they don't allow the music to happen?
Yes, and that's quite the point. Is that much of the time, especially with the younger players, they're so much wrapped up because of just the nature of playing the drums. They're so much wrapped up physically because of, the nature of playing, that we seem to lose sight of that, and everything can be just here in the physical, and nothing's getting out inside the instrument.
I would imagine just from watching drummers, I was going to say rock drummers, but it can be in any genre whatsoever. I mean, I've certainly seen some jazz drummers do the same thing, where they are, it seems like they're so about hitting and not so much about listening or creating something that's actually musical.
Yeah, so much of this is, and as soon as, you know, it's a lifelong quest, and as we keep maturing musically, it's being able to play something that really fits in response in the voices that are around you. So I think, you know, especially with percussion instruments, it is being careful and being playing. I mean, they have everything to do with determining what I should play.
They meaning everybody but you.
Right.
I mean everybody else in the group.
Exactly. Exactly. It's, you know, for a long time, and all of us drummers come up and we listen to our favorite drummers, which is a good thing. That's an important thing. But eventually, I can remember when I started buying recordings to listen to everyone but the drummer, so it was then able to define what my role really was. because when you play, you don't have another drummer to play with. You are the drummer.
So are there Music Minus One jazz recordings where you can do that sort of thing?
There is, yeah. Jim Chapin, is a great swing drummer and author, came out with a couple of them. But Jamie Abersold's known for that, but really not for drummers. They supply the rhythm section on there. But that's a good thing to play. You know, I tell students all the time, one of the most profound moments of my career was the very beginning of my career and the first time I played with a group and realized that I was the drummer because I was practicing a lot with recordings in my bedroom. And I was playing with the greatest drummers in the world.
Yeah, right.
I sounded good when I was playing with Art Blakey.
Uh-huh.
And Sonny Payne with the Basie Band.
Right.
And all of a sudden you were it.
I was it. I realized the responsibility.
And what happened?
I started growing up and hopefully started turning into a drummer at that point.
Well, I wonder what happened at that moment. Did you freeze?
All I thought of was, this really feels strange, and there's something really missing, and I don't know if I'm sounding so good right now.
or feeling so
yeah,
good?
Immediate loss of confidence. Yeah. And then from there, you know.
There you grow.
Then everything was okay after that. I realized what I had to work on, I guess.
Yeah. Joel and his colleagues in what's being billed here is the Chip McNeil Quartet are going to be at Allerton Park in Monticello, part of their Concerts in the Park series. It started in April with concerts on the first Friday of each month from 6 to 8. Most of these is officially called the Brick Wall Garden?
Yes, the Brick Walled Garden.
Brick Walled Garden. Yeah. And that is the voice of Derek Peterson, who's the Associate Director of Operations at the park, who's put the series together this year. I know that, of course, these guys have been involved. Some of these guys have been involved with the Allerton Music Barn series, which has been happening in the last 3 or 4 falls.
More than that. It's more like 5.
Really? Is it really?
There's been 5 or 6. Yeah, we used to have a summer jazz series that we started back when I first got here in 2002. And we ran that for about the first 3 or 4 years.
Out of Allerton?
We actually did it at Cranert, and then the money kind of dried up. And we used to have it over 3 or 4 days, and we'd have different artists in. And then about that same time, they were starting to develop the Music Barn out at Allerton, and it got up and working as a series. And then once that got going, they decided to shift it out there. And it actually worked out probably financially a little better, and they would just have... They had decided to do different styles of music, not just jazz over the...
Oh, yeah. Runs the gamut of...
Right. It runs almost everything.
Of what the school of music has.
Mm-hmm, right, exactly. Yeah. It was a little more comprehensive in terms of that. So, and then this year, I know they've moved the Allerton Barn Festival back to... we used to do it right when school began, right at the end of August.
Labor Day weekend,
generally, right around in there. But now they moved it back a couple of weeks. I think it's going to be on the 19th, 20th, that weekend of September. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different.
Yeah, thankfully. It won't be as... Hot.
Yeah,
it won't be as hot.
Right, for the heat, because there were a couple of times we played out there and it was awfully hot. I remember the first one we did for jazz out there was with Slide Hampton, and it was so hot. And Slide was in his 80s then, you know, so it was kind of tough.
He couldn't. He had more trouble in the audience, maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, Derek, what other sorts of artistic things go on at the park right now that you'd like listeners to get a chance?
You asked me earlier about what was the inspiration behind this, and I got to tell you, the park actually inspires a lot of my ideas a lot of my ideas and the staff's ideas too. They're not all these that come from me, but there's a movement now to get a temporary artist in residence at the park. Someone who could come in and spend a month there, and we're talking about doing it on a quarterly basis. And this person would be housed in one of the buildings at the park. We have a conference center there, and so we have a lot of guest rooms. And they would get a guest room, and then they would spend a month there developing their artistic talent, whatever that would be, whether it would be physical art or musical art or whatever that would be. So we're in the works of developing that program. A lot of what I do and what we try to do at the park stems from public interaction, and so this concert series that the Chip McNeil Quartet's going to be, you know, it's free to the public. We ask for donations, but ultimately, we want the public to get out there. We want people to come out and enjoy what is Allerton and what could be Allerton. I mean, there's a lot of There's a lot of dreaming going on out there. The same with the Artist in Residence program. There's this idea that this person would perform. That would be part of the deal, is that they'd have to perform in front of the public for a certain number of hours a day. So I think art in general could be expanded out there, and we're trying to work on that. So,
and of course, music is
right.
One of those arts.
Exactly.
Lots of things going on. And as we said earlier, Derek said earlier, the series is running the gamut of lots of different genres. Mm-hmm. Started out with some country music, and then had some Irish music, and now jazz tonight. Next month, it'll be blues with Kilburn Alley Blues Band on July the 5th. Mm-hmm. And then bluegrass with the Hanalis Prowlers on August the 2nd. And then is it going to go into September as
well?
Yeah,
September. We're going to do swing in September. And I'm trying to work with the Parkland Big Band to get the Parkland Big Band out there. And the Illini Swing Club. There's a club, that RSO on campus, that will be coming out, and they'll be teaching people how to dance. So, and then in October, I forget the date in October, the first Friday in October, it'll be our second annual Oktoberfest. We did one last year with polka music, and that will be in the barn.
I assume that's going to have to be a German band of
yes,
some kind.
Yes, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Got it.
I can't pronounce her name. It's Dire Dicke Deutsche.
I
goof that up constantly.
Dire Dicke Deutsche.
That's much better. That's exactly right.
Three small German guys is
yeah,
what
right.
that means.
Right, yeah.
Wow. Three little German guys.
They're very happy. German guys too.
Yeah, well, you got to do it. You got to be to play that music. Yep. Well, let's hear another tune from Chip McNeil and colleagues. What do you want to do?
I think we'll do a great old standard that actually was written by UB Blake a long time ago in 1930. Andy Razoff did the lyrics to this, and this was kind of popularized by Benny Goodman years ago, back when he had his big band, and even with small groups, he often did it with a Benny Goodman quartet. And it's a great old tune called Memories of You. Thank you.
Was that purely coincidental, or do you remember that we had a Judy Garland segment in the first part of this show?
Oh, that was just purely coincidental. That's the beauty of jazz. All that comes together. By the way, you mentioned it was the trolley song, which I believe is from the Easter Parade, or Meet Me in St. Louis.
It's Meet Me in St. Louis.
Meet Me in St. Louis, yeah. That's it. Sorry. Yeah, that's a great movie, too.
Yeah, I hope I remember songs. That one right, because I was music director for a production of that one.
Okay.
But I mix these things up. You know, somebody says, oh, what were the songs in the show you just did?
I think it's Meet Me in St. Louis.
I think so.
That's a great one, though.
Well, now I'm going to have to look it up when we're done.
Well, Memories of You actually predates that song, so by quite a bit. So,
yeah, Memories of You, the name of the tune they just played by U.B. Blake. I think of him as more of is it fair to call him a stride pianist? Or one of the things he did.
Well, it was one of the things, but he was certainly an early blues and jazz pianist, too. I mean, he was certainly one of the early pianists that brought soloing to the forefront in a lot of ways and was known a lot for his compositions. That's really probably the biggest thing I would say he was known for. He wrote, you know, St. Louis Blues and a lot of different tunes that are very famous, you know, in the jazz lexicon, and Memories of You is certainly one of those. He's really an interesting guy because he wrote a lot of music that not only fell under the blues category of jazz, but also a lot of standards like this one that had lyrics, and he worked with lyricists too, and especially in the latter portions of his career. So he's an interesting guy.
And U.B. Blake, you said he was early, but he lived a long time.
He lived a long time. Yeah, this was early in his career. This tune was written, I think, in maybe 29 or 30, somewhere in there.
Because I remember watching him. Well, I suppose it was probably when I was a kid. He had extraordinarily long fingers.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Which as was, did many of the stride pianists of that day. Yeah.
Well, I guess if you're going to do those intervals, you better have a good stretch. Chip McNeil on tenor sax with George Turner on the guitar, Sam Peters on drums, Sam Peters on bass, and Joel Spencer on the drums. If you guys want to trade, it might be interesting.
Let's do that.
That could be very interesting.
There we go. Let's do that.
Maybe a little too interesting.
They are live with us here on Live and Local, as you can probably tell, and they will be live tonight at 6 o'clock, so just about an hour from now at the Allerton Music, Allerton Park in Monticello. I'm thinking the Allerton Music Barn Festival,
right.
But it's Allerton Park in Monticello. It's going to be in the Brick Wall Garden. They'll play for a couple of hours. It's the third in what is a renewed Concerts in the Park series, first Friday of every month. And next month, it'll be Blues with Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. And in August, Henhouse Prowlers, who are bluegrass band. They've been on the show a couple times. Maybe we can do it again for that particular trip. And then in September, have some swing.
Swing is
the plan. Many thanks to the quartet. Many thanks to Derek Peterson of Allerton Park for organizing the series and also for coming in and telling us a little bit about it. And thanks, everybody, for coming in.
Thank you, Kevin. It was a pleasure. Thanks again, Derek, too.
Well,
come out tonight, please, everybody, 6 to 8.
Here are some other events you can see and hear live in our listening area this weekend. The Blue G's play bluegrass at Soho in Springfield tonight at 7:30. At the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, it's the musical Fiddler on the Roof tonight and tomorrow, 7:30. There's a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. It's Peter Case playing blues and folk-type music with Dan Hubbard at the High Dive in Champaign tonight at 7:30. At the Phoenix Theater in Monticello, the Monticello Theater Company presents the Hallelujah Girls tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. The Chris Bate Trio play jazz at Bouvons in Urbana this evening at 6 o'clock, followed by a Dookie Quintet, also jazz, tonight at 9 o'clock. It's The Big Idea at Donnie's Homespun in Decatur tonight at 9 o'clock. At the Station Theater in Urbana, the Celebration Company is presenting Superior Donuts tonight and tomorrow and Sunday at 8 o'clock. The Big Creek Guitar Band starting just about a minute at the Pink House in Ogden, where the Diva and the Dude will be on Saturday at 5. Steinway artists Aldo and Judy Mancinelli are at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield tonight at 7. The Reverend Robert Trio is at Village Wine and Spirits in Effingham, also tonight at 7 o'clock. It's a night with Mark Gifford and Damian Kaplan all at the Hoagland Center in Springfield tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. The New Orleans Jazz Machine is at the Cowboy Monkey in Champaign tomorrow night at 6:30. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville. NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. For Live and Local, I'm Kevin Kelly. We'll be back with you at 4 o'clock on Monday. It's 70 degrees at 5 o'clock.